One cannot be real and live in the world of falsehood, and one cannot be false and exist in the world of reality.
We need to read that again.
One cannot be real and live in the world of falsehood, and one cannot be false and exist in the world of reality.
Yeah, Gandhi said, you know, it was a really profound statement where he said, for a period of time it may seem as if murderers and tyrants prevail and win, but in the end, only truth and love remain.
Possession is self-assertion, loving is self-abnegation. The possessor must lose sooner or later the one who possesses. The lover gains in the end, if not the beloved, love itself.
Can you read it again?
Possession is self-assertion, loving is self-abnegation. The possessor must lose sooner or later the one he possesses. The lover gains in the end, if not the beloved, love itself.
Interest in life is in journeying toward perfection. If man were born perfect, there would be no joy in life. The whole interest in life is in journeying toward perfection. If we were born perfect, there would be no joy in life.
Yeah, and if everyone else was born perfect, there would also be no joy in life, although we expect that, you know?
It is the dead who cause death, the living preserve life. It is the dead who cause death, the living preserve life.
Yeah, and I mentioned the name Hazrat Inayat Khan, not because, again, you know, this isn't like our God or our deity or anything. You know, it's someone that had wisdom and shared it in his own way. So, you know, I'm quoting him and we're using his teachings. I hope those that aren't initiates see the wisdom of it and how it applies to your own paths. Yeah.
I enjoyed doing this so much, and I don't know about everybody else, but yes, I so took inside me the one, you know, that I read and I thought, found me, didn't you?
Yeah. It's true.
Yeah.
It's really true. Well, what do you have to say in the end? You get the final word, as if he hasn't had them before. As the heart expands, so the horizon becomes wider, and one finds greater and greater scope in which to build the kingdom of God. As the heart expands, so the horizon becomes wider, and one finds greater and greater scope in which to build the kingdom of God. Oh my gosh. All that, and I haven't even gotten to this month's lesson. I think we've done it, though, huh?
Yeah.
Do you feel full?
Are you asking if we want more?
Do you feel empty yet?
You have more to give.
Well, I wanted to share this because I do remember, although a couple people in the room say that I've given this practice, of which I have no recall, so I don't know. I guess it was just coming. But I would like to share this practice because I think it's really an important practice. And again, it's something that maybe Layla or Kriyamangita or Kabriya might have remembered. I don't know, Mariam maybe. Murshida Vira, I think, gave this practice way a long time ago, either at the Palm Sunday retreat when we were in California with her, or she might have done it at a camp. But other than that, I've never heard this practice given. But it is one of the basic practices that was given by Hazra Nayak Khan. And first was given the prayer Nayaz, which is the healing prayer. And I think we should do that because he put it on the swing of the breath. I'll read the words, and then I'll say them as we inhale and we exhale. And you can just sort of think about these words as I read the prayer for the first time. This is called the Nayaz, or it's also called the healing prayer. And it's done in this way, and you can do it, and then we'll do it again. But just to get it sort of out there in the ether. It's breathing in, Beloved Lord, Almighty God, and then breathing out through the rays of the sun, and inhaling through the waves of the air, and exhaling through the all-pervading life in space, and inhaling, purify and revivify me, and then holding, and I pray, and then exhaling. Heal my body, heart, and soul. And there's another practice after that, which is the one I'm talking about that Murshida gave. But again, he's asking us to stand. It's okay, honey. You can stay there. You're a good boy, I know. Stay down. So breathe in. Beloved Lord, just you don't speak. You're just breathing in the words, and I'll say them for us. And some of you that know them, just do it. But I think there are others that don't know the words. Beloved Lord, Almighty God, out through the rays of the sun, in through the waves of the air, out through the all-pervading life and space, in purify and revivify me. Hold, and I pray, and now breathe out. Heal my body, heart, and soul. We're asked to do it three times. So again, in, Beloved Lord, Almighty God, out, through the rays of the sun, in, through the waves of the air, out, through the all-pervading life and space, in, purify and revivify me, hold, and I pray, out, heal my body, heart, and soul. Allow your hands just to be at your sides loose, and breathe in, Beloved Lord, Almighty God, out, through the rays of the sun, in, through the waves of the air, out, through the all-pervading life and space, breathe in, purify and revivify me, hold, and I pray, and breathe out, heal my body, heart, and soul. And then this practice, and you can watch, and then we can do it together. It's just so beautiful, I think. And you will get maybe an impression from this movement. I come from the perfect source. I return to the perfect goal. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. I live, move, and have my being in God. Nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. You remember that? Vaguely, yeah. So it's done on the breath. And the first phrase, I come from the perfect source. And you can jiggy-jog yourself, so you know, fill the space if you need to. Come into the space so you're not hitting each other. Yeah, come here to the other. Yeah. So the phrase goes, and I'll just say it, and you can breathe it. And first just let me do it so you kind of get it, and then we'll do it together a couple times. And you can come here, Virginia, if you like, if it's better for you. So it's the phrase goes, breathing in, I come from this perfect source, and I return to the perfect goal. That's all breathing in. And then hands together. Can you get them together? The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul is while we're holding the breath. Okay, and then we breathe out. I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past, of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. Do you get a feeling from doing that with those movements? And you can kind of lightly sort of stroke near your body like you're giving this blessing to yourself. So, breathing in. And just, you don't need to say the words. You're concentrating inwardly. I'm saying them for our benefit. I come from the perfect source and I return to the perfect goal and hold. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. Exhaling, I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. Let's do it again. I come from the perfect source and I return to the perfect goal. Hold. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. Out. I live, move, and have my being in God. Continue breathing out. Nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. Let's do it one more time. Breathing in, I come from the perfect source and I return to the perfect goal. Hold, the light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. Out, slowly, I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or the present can touch me. I rise above all. We can sit down. Did that have an effect on you, or did you feel anything from that practice? What did you feel? Do you mind sharing?
Like a kind of just a stable placement. My, you know. Also, like doing this.
Yeah.
That's kind of. That's like, I mean, very slowly pushing the things away. You can feel it too. It seems to be. feel something, you know, going across my surface of my body or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Cleansing.
Anyone else?
It's kind of like it starts with this light kindled in the soul, but then it's like we become the whole flame, and then it's like it's kind of like what Joe was saying, and then it's like everything else is just stripped away with that action. Mm-hmm. It's really beautiful.
Very beautiful. Isn't it?
Oh, so, yes. I need to write the words of that.
Yeah, yeah, everyone really should. If yeah, you have paper, do you have paper?
Yeah.
And if not, maybe...
Can you email it?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Maybe I can also email it. Yeah, I'll email it. But those that have paper and want to write it down.
Would you do that?
Yes.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you. Yeah, because I think this should be a practice that, again, is done every day, and I think that's as it was prescribed. I mean, you can really start to feel... You know, of course, this movement is so much like the salutation to the sun. You know, you can see where that comes from. So it's like that invocation, you know, of the divine light. And then identification with the light. It's almost like we become the flame. And then this, you know, as light does, you know, it dissipates the shadows. You know, it illuminates things. But also the strong sense of, you know... I come from the perfect source, and I return to the perfect goal. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. I live, move, and have my being in God, and nothing of the past or present can touch me. I rise above all. I strongly, this is only my feeling, maybe others don't have this, but I have this feeling like, you know, in one of the prayers, and again, those that are interested, we can give you these prayers. There's a prayer that says, the clouds of doubt and fear are scattered by thy piercing glance. The clouds of doubt and fear are scattered by thy piercing glance. And that's exactly what this does. It's like the clouds are moving down and you're emerging at this mountain. You see? It's really extraordinary. I cannot tell you enough how very... deeply changing these prayers and these practices can be if they're done. They have to be done.
One thing I thought that was the first phrase, and I didn't want to say this because it's very much in the vernacular, but I thought, somebody's got my back. Mm-hmm. And you're part.
What did you say?
Someone's watching my back. You know, I'm all right. I'm fine. I'm supported. Yeah.
Can
you
repeat
the
word again? Yes. I come from the perfect source. Actually, I am bound to the perfect goal. I think I said a return. I am bound to the... That's a powerful word, too. I'm bound to the perfect goal.
Wow.
So that's breathing in, both those phrases. I come from the perfect source. I am bound to the perfect goal. Holding, the light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. I live and move and have my being in God. Now we're starting to breathe out while my heads descend. Huh?
Hold on.
Okay.
You live.
That was a long one. And then in, out. What's out?
Then you're breathing out for these two phrases, and they're long ones. I live and move and have my being in God. And you're kind of coming to your head at that point. And then you continue breathing out. Nothing in the past or present has the power to touch me. I rise above all.
one more time.
The first phrase, the first sentence is these two phrases. Number one, and he has it indicated in this way. One, while breathing in, I come from the perfect source. I am bound to the perfect goal. That's on the inhalation. Number two is, while holding, the light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. That's number two. That's held. Number three is, I live and move and have my being in God. And you're descending the hands to your head. That's the third phrase. And the last one, as you're stroking sort of your auric field and allowing the blessings to flow through that, nothing in the past or present has the power to touch me. I rise above all. And three and four are all done on the exhalation.
And you're saying this silently?
Silently. On the breath. As well as the healing prayer, the Nyas is done on the breath with the, it's the ficker, the swing of the breath.
Belly dance, try to get people eventually to open up and do that, and it's very hard to get people because it's a vulnerable moment, you know, when you sort of take flight, similar, you know, that. And then the same kinds of movements of, you know, stroke, and then returning to the place where you're safe and vulnerable again. People like that. But it's the rest, the moment when you're going to stand there in front of everyone, you know, naked and exposed, and you can't slap anybody and you're up there or fight or do anything. But that whole movement, psychologically, it happens in the body.
It just opens everything up.
Heart, the heart.
Yeah.
You know, goes up.
Is kindled in my soul? Is that what you said? Is kindled what?
The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. That's the second. And you're holding the breath in. Did everyone get it? You want me to read it one more time? Got it. Okay.
One more. Just one. Let me check.
Breathing in. I come from the perfect source. I am bound to the perfect goal. Two, holding the breath. This is two, and you're holding the breath, and your hands are like this. The light of the perfect being is kindled in my soul. And hands starting to descend. I live and move and have my being in God, and they're sort of around the head at that point. And then you continue to move down. And don't go like this. You go like this. And nothing of the past or present has the power to touch me. I rise above all. And this practice can be done every day, but Hazarat and I Khan says that this is especially useful for someone that's in low in spirits, burdened by disagreeable, inharmonious impressions of influences. Turn on the television or the radio, you will be bombarded by disagreeable and inharmonious impressions and influences. So I say, do it every day.
Go to work. Interesting, it doesn't say the future.
No, because the future is full of all potential. It has not yet happened. And, you know, again, in traditional meditation practices, you know, mindfulness meditation is just staying present to the moment. But the fact is that we, you know, it's like if you think about it, it's like We schlep around with us all of the past. I mean, we're dragging everything around on our backs. And he's trying to tell us we can let go of those impressions. And this is part of the series of the purification breaths, which we did. Yes. Of the purification prayer. And then this practice. This is all to clear us of impressions. We don't need to carry around the baggage. It's like being in the present moment, clear, ready to step in the next moment, and the next moment, and the next moment. But the fact is, and again, we were talking about this last night in the Long Room group, you know, where they talk about these 12 links of dependent origination or cyclic existence. And how do you cut the tie of that? You know, we're always like clinging to the past, you know, or we're grasping towards the future. We're not here in this moment. Reflecting on what happened, what could have been, what we should have done, what that person said, what happened, what blah, 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 blah. Or then in the future, oh, I might not have what I want in the future. I might, you know, that person may not be there, or I might be this, or, you know, it's like these two things keep us caught in suffering, constantly suffering, because we're not clear. And Hazran and Icon is trying to give us a practice to clear us of these impressions so that we can be in the breath, we can be in the rhythm, we can be purified and revivified are the words he gives.
Do you mind giving us the words for the purification breath?
Okay. I would love to. The purification breaths are done in this way. There's the prayer, and these are the breaths. The first breath is in the nose and out the nose. You can write NN, meaning nose, nose. The breath while you breathe in is, I inhale divine light and life, and you breathe out, I radiate the same. I inhale divine light and life, I radiate the same. 5 times you do that, nose, nose, in and out, nose, nose. 2nd 5 is nose, mouth, so you can write NM. You breathe in your nose and out your mouth. Same phrase. 3rd 5 breaths are in the mouth and out the nose. It changes direction. So, MN, mouth, nose. And the last 5 breaths are mouth, mouth, in the mouth and out the mouth.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then did anyone want the words to the Nyas prayer, the healing prayer? There it is. Came right out. Breathing in, beloved Lord Almighty God. And breathing out through the rays of the sun. Breathing in through the waves of the air. And breathing out. Are you getting it?
I'm just, you know.
Short.
Yeah, because I know the prayer.
Virginia, are you getting
it? Yeah, I'm going.
Where was I?
Through the waves of the air.
Okay. Breathing out. Breathing in through the waves of the air.
Yeah.
And exhaling through the all-pervading life in space. And then breathing in, purify and revivify me. And then you hold, and I pray. And then you exhale, heal my body, heart, and soul. And you can kind of think, you know, there are phrases, and if you get lost, I mean, you just think breathing in the invocation, beloved Lord Almighty God, and then through the rays of the sun, radiating like the sun, and then breathing in the waves, through the waves of the air, and then exhaling, it makes sense again, through the all-pervading life and space. And then drawing in, purify and revivify me, and holding, and I pray, and then releasing, heal my body, heart, and soul. Those that have been around for a while, is it illuminating things too? It's nice, huh? To share like this. Okay. I'm going to make a bold step and make an announcement. I'm not into proselytizing or changing the way anybody does anything. But those of you that have been coming for a while may not be aware that there is a process of initiation. Did you know that, Heather?
I...
Kinda, yeah. And Naomi, I don't know if you know. And Joe, even. I know you got a blessing from Hidayat. But I do want to say this to you. I'm planting a seed, and I have a little handout in there that's been written by the son of Hazrat Anayat Khan Hidayat on the path of initiation, because there is something, you know, that you have to ask. One has to reflect on, in every tradition, there is something that happens. In Buddhism, one takes empowerment. In Christianity, we take baptisms. You know, in Islam, there are other things. You know, you take hand or something. There's all these different expressions. And in a sense, it becomes like a key that can unlock inner experiences even further. And why? Because it links us with this whole line of master saints and prophets of the tradition. And again, it doesn't mean that you change anything else. But what it does mean is that it is an opportunity to be working in an inner way with oneself. Because the fact is life is the path. And what arises in our life is showing us the path. But sometimes we need help. We can help each other. You know, that's what the Sangha is in Buddhism. And that's what the church is for other people in its ideal form. In Sufism, it's a little bit different. It's a path of initiation where one works on a more intimate scale with oneself and one's unfoldment with a friend. You might say it a friend, you could call it a teacher, a guide, whatever you want to call it. But one is given the opportunity to be involved in a more dynamic dialogue, which sometimes you don't find in more traditional forms of church. You might have that relationship with a minister, a preacher, a priest, or whatever. But it's a very beautiful opportunity to work in a very individualized way. And so I just want you to know that that opportunity exists. And it may be something that someone wants to do, and it may not be. But if you feel that there's a resonance with these practices, you may want to consider that. And for the people that are initiates, you know, again, we're not the Jehovah's Witness or whoever was knocking at your door, believe me. But does anyone want to speak to it, to this? Because I know everyone's deeply involved in their own work and their own practice and their own everything, but what has it meant to you? I mean, maybe that would be helpful to hear. I mean, for me, I can tell you what happened is, I'll speak for myself. You know, I was raised Catholic. However, as a young child, I had mystical experiences which were dismissed as being an imaginative, creative, artistic child. And yet they were very real to me, and it didn't discourage me, but I did feel misunderstood. And I had an experience, to tell you the truth, and Karima Gita knows this because she was there, I had an energetic experience. I didn't know anything about Hazran and Khan. I didn't know anything about anything. I mean, I was just sort of, you know, doing my novenas and my rosaries and my, you know, things like that. And I was having this a feeling of a shift in energy. That's all I can say. It felt very relaxed and very expansive. And Prima Gita was with me and my sister was with me. We were on a holiday. And my sister's eyes, and anyone that knows my sister knows this, were like this. And I said, what's going on? Because she would do that when I'd have this feeling. And she said, it's so strange. It's like I see you, but there's like this man.
Hmm.
And I said, really? Because I'm feeling something. So I said, indicate to me when you see it by doing this. I was checking. You know, it wasn't like I was just going to say, oh, wow, we're having some cool thing here. And believe me, we were not doing drugs because I've never done drugs. So that wasn't it. We might have had a Corona or two, but that was about it. So she was, you know, we were sort of syncing up, you know. And so I said, well, you have to draw it. We have to see what you're seeing. And she said, oh, I can't draw. And I said, yeah, you can. Get a pencil and look. Get a piece of paper. And you probably had the pencils on the paper.
Yeah,
because you're always drawing. And I said, don't look down. Just look at what you're seeing and draw it. And she did. And it was this man with dark, penetrating eyes, a beard, and long hair. And the next week or two, we came back, and we met someone at the what used to be the House of Hezekiah, the herb shop, which is now Phoenix Herbs. And the man came up and said, and I was with my sister, and he said, you know, I just feel like I should tell you, I think you need to meet the Sufis. And they have Sufi dancing at the Westport Allen Center. So we put on our tights and big shirts to go Sufi dancing. We had no idea what we were getting into. And we walked in, and I said, I'm not going in. I just think that's all really weird, whatever they're doing in there. Because they were, like, sitting around, you know, drumming and chanting, and I thought, no, that's a cult. No way, I'm not going in there. And this one man came out and said, I know this might seem a little strange to you, but we're really harmless. Just come in and sit down. And it was our friend Saul, you know, Saul. I've always thought him as the first initiator. I always have called him my first initiator. Moshe Devir was my second initiator. And I walked in, and the whole time was this inner dialogue, like, I really like this, and I'm really interested, but I just think it's so weird. But we kept going back, you know. But the thing that was really profound is that there was a picture on the door, on the window sill. And there's another picture of him with his hair down. And it was, we recognized that it was the being of an icon. And he, how can that be? Those things don't seem to make sense, but they do make sense. And so it's a very, well, it's the mystical path. And there is mysticism in Sufism. You know, there is a mystical path that unlocks doorways of perception, not in a hoogee-woogee thing, but in a way that we can become more of service and aid in our lives, in our family, in our communities, and so forth, and in service, too. And in service, basically. And we all have that in some way. And so I was going to what was called the Dances of Universal Peace. And for me, that it wasn't really my deal. It was beautiful, and I learned a lot. But for me, I kept thinking, there's something that I know that's even behind this. And that's what I was trying to get to. And then there was the opportunity to go on this retreat with a very old Sufi woman. She had been a Sufi for a long time, and she was an older woman, and she was an artist, and a bit of a scientist, and I just heard her name. I didn't know who she was, and I thought, I have to go to this retreat, and it was in Arkansas, and that was that. I mean, I knew that I had found my teacher, and that she would be the one that would guide me, and she did, very rigorously, believe me. And so that's what happened for me. And it was a path of healing and coming back towards wholeness and rectifying inconsistencies. And it's an ongoing path. One can't say one's arrived. It's a constant, you know, journey, as I think was read. So that was my experience. And I don't know if anyone else wants to speak to it or can say anything about theirs. But Layla, you? How did it happen for you?
My experience wasn't quite so profound. I've been exposed to the Sufi group and the dances of Universal Peace for a while, and I was very drawn to the music and everything. And I really didn't, I mean, I was drawn to the teachings. And then when I met Rashida the Recorder, it was like, this was it. It was like something started vibrating in my being, and it was like, you know, I knew that I just had to have her initiate me. And the thought, I think it was the thought of just not only being connected with her, but also her teacher, and their teacher, and their teacher, and their teacher, and all of these beings. You know, it's like, you say, watching your back. I mean, it's like all these people back there, up there, down there, wherever, just surrounding you and being there. Yeah. Well, definitely, you know, since she's passed on, I feel a little kind of like, well, I don't know, what do I do?
Yeah.
I'm sort of, I feel like I'm sort of on my own.
It's not true.
This has been really good for me coming here.
I'm glad. Yeah.
Reminder of many things.
Yeah. And it may be a time to hook up with another person, too. A living teacher is always... I mean, that's the thing about it, too. It's a living connection. And I know many of us in Buddhism also have our living teachers. And my teachers all know about each other. It's like, yeah, I do the Buddhist thing, I do the Sufi thing, I do the Catholic thing, and the priests know about the Buddhist teachers and the, you know, and vice versa. It all is part of it. And so that's the beauty of Sufism, too. It's like, well, they say you can't have it all. You can. So, yeah, thank you for sharing that. Anyone else? Yeah, Prima Gita?
Yeah, it's like sort of where to begin, but I come from a Methodist background, and I think, you know, it's interesting how, you know, I can remember as a very young child, like elementary school age, and my story kind of goes, I remember the missionaries that had come back from Africa and sharing their story to the church, and this, you know, this slideshow about converting the people there to, you know, Christianity in the Methodist form. And I remember that as a little girl sitting there thinking that that just doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to me as a little girl. And I asked the question, what's wrong with their God?
Yeah.
So I think that was always the burning question for me throughout my life. And I was a spiritual seeker, and I was one of those little girls who in Bible school was always asking the questions nobody could really answer. And so I think it was always a seeking for a place that felt right for me, like my home in a sense. And for me, it kind of happened. And I went through navigators, all these different Christian organizations. I was really trying to find a place. And also someone to talk to. Like, who can, like, I talk to about all these things I'm experiencing inside, all these questions I have, all these, this connection I feel to something so large, you know, that's not me. And, you know, so just going through that my whole life, and Nuria, of course, have gone to the Sufi dancing. I wasn't quite there yet. She and her sister had gone. I was sort of, you know, hanging out in the background going, I had just met her actually and thinking, you know, are these people weird or is But I knew I really loved this person, Nuria. She wasn't Nuria, she was Stephanie to me at the time, but she had become connected with people in the community And she shared the book, The Unity of Religious Ideals, with me by Hazrat Mai Khan. And I read that and I broke out into tears. I got done and I just thought, I'm at home. I just felt like that message was the very message of my heart, and that I had been seeking it for so long, and here it was. So that's what really brought me to the path. And, you know, then for a long time for me, it was, you know, I was sort of the whole experience of being an initiate and having a guide was a very odd thing to me. It was something that was not familiar to me at all. And the only person I knew that I had to talk with was Nuria. And I knew she was on this path, and I could see how she was evolving and how she was unfolding. And I knew that with her, if I took this initiation with her, and I struggled with it for a long time because we were also friends.
Yeah. And colleagues.
And colleagues. And my experience of witnessing it was a lot of times it seemed like more of a student-teacher relationship to me. And so I realized in my own being I needed a friend. I needed a guide, but someone that I felt was here and available to me to talk with about the things that I was experiencing. And that's what it's been for me, that relationship of being an initiate on the path is to have practices that I can experience, and sometimes those practices bring up questions, and I can talk with someone about those questions or talk with someone about those experiences so that I'm not just living it in isolation or even subject sometimes to my own delusions about things, too. It's good to have somebody else just to check things with. Is this a similar experience? And oftentimes it is a similar experience. And you feel like you're not alone out there. So
it reminded me of when I was a little girl. I grew up in a very small farming community in South Dakota in the Congregational Church. And, you know, it's all Jesus and this, and it's like I would sit there. I mean, I had very little exposure to the outside world, and I just kept thinking, you know, there's more to this than Jesus. Jesus.
Yeah.
It was like it was something within my being just knew that little seed planted that, you know, there's more and more and more.
I think people that are drawn to this particular path have that sense of that it doesn't just reside in one message, that they start to get this sense that the spirit of guidance moves through so many different vehicles. And yes, Jesus is a being that it moved through, but also Buddha.
Buddha,
you know, universal Moses, truth, Muhammad, Abraham, you know, whatever, Krishna, you know, Ram, I mean, you know, whatever. It's there. You know, it's pervading. And I think that the people that have hearts are very focused on one messenger or prophet or being, that's also good. But for some, it feels not quite right. It's a limitation. And for those, then opening more to the to a broader scope of things and getting your back covered in a different way is a good thing.
Well, that's and one thing that Layla was saying, and that's what I feel the message has even broadened my relationship to Christianity.
Yes.
Because it started to answer the questions I had when I was, you know, young, but couldn't receive from that in that place and time. So.
I just wanted to jump to the idea of taking initiation. And when I got a flavor of what this was all about, and I thought, you know, there it is. I want that. And I want to be part of it. And for me, the initiation was, first, I was making a real commitment, you know, and I'm laying down the commitment. But the commitment is not a one-way street. I have the blessing of a wonderful teacher who supports me in my questions and foibles and teaching me things I need to know for my own welfare and from all angles of the way I live my life, you know, not just the spiritual, but think about this, you know, as knowing other people and, you know, as, you know, has that not come? And he came to the United States. He looked at how people act and figured all of these things out. And those are things that we need to do in our daily lives also. And I just feel like I wouldn't have progressed, kicking and screaming sometimes, if I had not gone the route of initiation. So that has been the right answer for me personally. That's
yeah, and the reason I'm bringing this up, and some of you maybe just never want to come back after we talk about this, so that's okay. You know, we were in, four of us were together in Holland, and we were meeting with people from around the world that are connected to this message. So it was so beautiful because the different contingencies were, you know, inviting sort of the Americans to meet with them. And so we went and we spent one evening with the Russians. And what they told us was that they were part, two of the gentlemen, and I think some of the women were part, I mean, the beauty that these teachings were so available, but they were part of an esoteric underground.
Wow.
And they had a codified language through which they would speak to each other. Because if before they were to be known, they were, you know, by the KGB, they would be imprisoned in Siberia for 9 years minimum. And that's how hard they fought for what we're doing here today, mm-hmm. quite freely. Mm-hmm. And these are people that are working in very high positions in Russia. They're not, you know, peasants. Or, I mean, not that a peasant is a bad thing either, but they're the intellectuals, the artists, the economists. That caliber of person is drawn to this message. And then we met with the Australians. They wanted to meet with us. And they're, you know, they have their story. And then we met with the Turkish people, and they had their story. And so this is an international movement, you know. It's not an order. It's not a this. It's a movement of bringing forth this message. And the fact is, in this interpretation of the message, there are very few in America. There is the message of the Dances of Universal Peace, and, you know, the Sufi order has their vibration, but this I don't know if Layla knows that, I know Marianne does, I made a choice to move away, you know, to offer my resignation to the Sufi order and align with the movement, because for me this, I'm learning things that I never learned in 20 years otherwise. And I went to a lot of training for the leaders and representatives. I was a representative for the Sufi order, and I felt I have to get back to the essential teachings, and so I made that choice. And you know, it's been a really extraordinary experience for me, and it really has kicked up the learning for me, you know, as a teacher, as a representative, as a guide, whatever. So the work is, in my mind, new here. And, you know, when we were in Holland, Hadayat Naikon, the son of Hazrat Naikon, who just celebrated his 90th birthday, has worked tirelessly his whole life, you know, and said, we need intellectuals, we need writers, we need spokespeople, you know, we need, and it's only about helping humanity is the point. And so I'm wanting to, you know, like I said, it's bold of me, but I'm introducing this concept of inviting you, if you feel there's any value in these teachings, that they benefit you, you only know that you would like to learn more, because I'm interested in helping to build an organization that can offer this message in whatever vehicle it is, through healing, through education, through arts. You know, through however that comes. And it's not like converting people, it's like sharing a message that can profoundly heal humanity. That's what it started as, and that's what it is. But it gets lost a little bit in a little bit of the flash and a little bit of the this and a little bit of the distillation. And I'm really thinking, you know, America needs this now. And the world needs it now. And when I look at all the people that have been, I mean, the Turkish man, he's living in Germany, but he's head of the cultural exchange, you know, council of, the, you know, Germany. I mean, these are really, you know, one, we went and had a tea with the former minister of finance that's been involved in Sufism his entire adult life of, and was one of the five members that founded the European Council and Union. He was instrumental in that.
And created the euro.
And created the euro himself. He was the head of the International Monetary Fund. This is the kind of people that are involved. These aren't people that are hanging out on some fringe. These are people in key positions in at high levels that are involved in the Sufi movement. And that's what I'm saying. If you feel calling, line up. Let's get in line. Come on. Let's get going. Yes.
What I wanted to say, what I really felt in Holland, participating in the summer school of the International Sufi Movement, was that it was about, you know, it's not about religion. It's
no.
about a consciousness.
Right.
And living in a conscious awareness of how we live and breathe in this world. And it's something that we can all do, and it's not tied to one religion, but it pulls together all those truths of those religions into a way of living and being in the world. And that's how I really experience
that. Yeah, that's great.
That.
That's
and it
beautiful.
It feels like even these breath practices, they're so practical to me, and I'm kind of a pragmatic person. I've got a real pragmatic side, you know, and it's just like, wow, this stuff works, and it changes my consciousness. I see it changing my consciousness.
Right.
If I practice it in a day at school, and I'm able to be conscious and present and do that practice, I see how it changes me. It's not perfect every day. I don't always have, you know, can't always walk down the hall with feeling that or hearing that phrase on the breath, but when I do, I really see how it changes my consciousness or it changes my day. And it changes how my relationships with people.
It does, doesn't it? Like the boy that walks in the room and says, "You meditate, don't you?" And then he said to me, "It's nice. It makes me feel very calm." And then I said to him, "I'm really glad, but I also know how to jazz you up if I need to." Which I can.
Which
you know, Heather, you've been in my classes interpreting. You know I can mix it up if I have to. So, yeah.
On initiation, one of the main benefits that I recognize through the years is in my dream life. Because My first mystical experiences were having the veil lifted during sleep and having my teacher, a teacher there, who said, "Well, Carol, this is what you've been wanting to know," and having this incredible experience of union with God. And it was an answer to a prayer after visiting all these places that I thought, "Oh man, these are people are cults and this and that."
Right.
And that I said, "Okay, I'm not going to take this deluded or perverted through any person for their personality. And if we're going to have a relationship, it's just got to be direct, you and me." So here I am. And after that, I realized that, well, it was, of course, the most profound experience a person can have. And I just said, "Okay, I think I'm going to figure out." Well, there was nothing really to figure out, but I thought, you know, I think it'd be fun to go to India. And so I left 2 weeks later for India, and hooked up with the Tibetan Buddhists there and went to Dharamsala. And that's kind of where my path started, but it seemed all a bit exotic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I'm a Westerner. I don't really want to take on all this exoticism of another culture.
And so, you know, I came back to America and went back to school and was really quite lost, because though I kind of floated above existence for about a year and was completely in this watcher place, watching myself doing this and doing that, you know, at some point you just come down. And I think what brought me down was a class in Zen where they just confused the hell out of me. And, you know, does this, you know, if you close your eyes, is the chair really there? And I forget what he said to me, but then I was walking down campus and I saw this group of people on the lawn holding hands and dancing, and I just kind of wandered closer and closer. And got in a circle, what the woman said was, you know, the purpose of this dance is to step as one being and to sing as one voice without any voice louder than another, any step faster than another, and to become one being. And I'm like, I'm home. But, you know, then they introduced me to Kirtalaya, and I was initiated in 72. And from that time, I have found that I have had more and more teaching dreams. This connection with the silsila, you know, going way back. You know, I had dreams for years of Pir Vilayat, teaching dreams. And then, you know, Kabir. I meet Kabir in my dreams a lot. And then after Alauddin became a Murshid, I had a dream of him, a teaching dream. So there's stuff going on in the spheres, and this is just a small part of our life, our waking life. And I think our growth is happening on multiple planes, and initiation links you up with this whole silsila of teaching and these spirits who are behind you and helping you manifest. And to me, that has been invaluable. You know, Pir Vilayat has died. Right. I see Kabir once a year, you know, we chat, we look into each other's eyes, and it's a wonderful thing, but there's really no ongoing dialogue. But I do have dreams, so I think that's kind of nice. You know, it's what I have.
Yeah, that's how it comes
from. And I have this community.
Yeah.
So, I think that's a real benefit.
Yes, it is. Well, is there anyone else that wants to say anything? Because we can just close and have a little, well, it's 5 almost, but I do have some cheese and crackers and guacamole dip and chips and sparkling water and non-sparkling water to share with you as well. So. Together, what we have shared, what we have learned, what has inspired us is a benefit. We ask that the heart of humanity be touched by these vibrations, that all of creation and all the realms of existence feel the love, harmony, and beauty of this message, which is the message that has come through many beings throughout time and space. And we ask that the vibrations continue and live to purify and revivify not only us, all sentient beings, may there be love. May there be harmony, and may there always be beauty. We dedicate the merit of this practice and this shared time for the benefit of all.